Somewhere deep in the forest, a feathered jackhammer slaves away to fill all the trees with holes. The pileated woodpecker attacks hardwood with its whole face and somehow strolls away from repeated headfirst collisions with nary a scratch, let alone constant concussions. It's a biological engineering marvel with a mohawk. But sometimes you have to have special headgear to be a woodland wrecking ball like the pileated woodpecker here in life, death, and taxonomy.
Welcome back to Life, Death, and Taxonomy. It's your 30 minutes of interesting animal information. I'm Joe.
And I'm Carlos.
Thank you to Cassie for the creation of our theme song. To hear more of Cassie's music, please search Cassie Michelle on YouTube or Spotify.
And a very special thank you to our patrons. Thank you so much for your support. It's greatly appreciated. Thanks for helping us keep the lights on. If you would like to donate or just join us, you can visit us at patreon.com/LDTaxonomy or click on donate on our website at LDTaxonomy.com.
And today we're talking about a pileated pile driver, but more on that later.
A Pontius pileated pile driver.
We're talking about.
Well, what are we talking about?
The pileated woodpecker. I looked up the pronunciation and it looks like it's pileated, but some people say pileated. So.
Yeah, I'm seeing pileated, but.
Dealer's choice.
I would say pileated as well. It's also known as the wood hen or the carpenter bird. I have them in my, flying around the forest in my backyard quite a bit. There's one that lived in the soffit of my house right above my bedroom window growing up. I'm intimately familiar with these birds and the noises they make. But we're going to call it here the cranial crash dummy and the concussion percussion. But Pontius pileated was also pretty good. That just kind of threw it in there last minute. It works too.
Yeah.
But as a bird with wings, it is unable to wash its hands of this.
Well, do you know what it? What do you want to hear? Where it lives in science?
Yes.
It's in the kingdom you know, love, and are in the kingdom Animalia. The phylum is Chordata. The class is Aves. The order is Picciformes.
I say Pisciformes. A soft C.
I was trying not to say it.
You're learning Latin, right? This should come naturally.
Yeah, the pronunciation of a dead language.
That nobody knows the pronunciation of. It's the pronunciation is British. That's all we know. Michael Fassbender is your quintessential Roman man.
So family is Piscidae, according to you.
Say Piscidae.
Yeah, true. That's
say
what it would be.
Say it like you would say in like an Italian.
Yes. Latin does sound best when it's pronounced as if you were an Italian. Genus is Dryocopus.
Dryocopus? A dry octopus?
Yeah. I don't like that. That's a dead octopus. the species is the binomial name, Dryocopus pileatus.
Dryocopus pileatus. Well, since we are in the business of naming things, it's time for my favorite part of the show and the listener's favorite part of the show, and one that we have not done in a while, but we are doing a bird, so it's time for critter groups. The part of the show where I ask you Joe a question, and that question is the same every time. What is the name for a group of this animal? What is the term of venery? What is the collective noun? If you saw a group of woodpeckers would you say that is A, a descent of woodpeckers, B, a strike of woodpeckers, C, a flit of woodpeckers, or D, a knock of woodpeckers? Descent, strike, flit, knock. Sounds like I'm activating the Winter Soldier. Red book.
I'm going to go with knock, final answer.
Knock is what you said?
Yes.
That is incorrect. The answer is descent.
Yeah, descent. That was the least appropriate one, so I should have gone with that.
Yeah, one of these things was not like the others.
Mm-hmm.
It is a crying shame that it's not knock or strike, for that matter. But descent is what they went with.
Interesting. Yeah, I never liked them. I never liked Terms of Entry. They're almost always bad.
I do. A congregation of praying mantises? Come on.
I mean, there's good ones that are like, that are actual group names. A congregation is a group of things. An army of frogs. An army is a group of things. When they're a descent, that's not good. That's bad. It's immoral, actually.
A parliament of owls?
Parliament is a group of things. It's another decent one.
But then you have a flamboyance of flamingos.
Yes.
So.
When it's like supposed to be a noun. Like, yeah. No, bad.
It's morally reprehensible to do that. All right. Tell us what it looks like.
Well, they're mostly black on the body with bold white stripes on the face and neck. They have a prominent flaming red crest. Males have a red mustache or malar stripe, which is, they call it a mustache. If you think about the entire beak as the nose, it's like a mustache.
Yeah. One that you might twirl, like a Wario mustache.
Mm-hmm.
Or Waluigi mustache.
Females have a black... have a black malar or mustache. In flight, large white patches flash on the underwings, and it flies with deep rowing wing beats.
Oh, I should have called this guy Rufio. He looks like Rufio.
Yeah. They are very cool looking birds, like a black and white, black and white with a red motif, just a little bit of red for fashion.
It's like, what is it? Schindler's List. It's awful. But yes, it's in black and white.
Or,
but there's like, there had the, but
Sin
the,
City.
There's the girl with the red shirt in it.
Mm-hmm.
There's some sort of like movie analysis that where the red matters, and I don't remember what it is, but I've never seen Sin City, but I have seen the.
Or the Wolfman Disney special has a red ruby. It's black and white and then a red ruby.
Interesting. The Wolfman Disney special. We're just getting more and more niche here.
Yeah. No.
We started with a movie that everyone should probably at least know about, and then there's Sin City.
Yeah. But the one that
Zack Snyder's magnum opus, and then this obscure Disney thing.
I bet you that's what most people have seen out of those.
You think more people have seen Sin City than Schindler's List?
No. I think more people have seen The Wolfman. It's like a 45-minute... like low.
I've never even heard of this thing.
It's like,
it didn't get marketed.
That's the only one I've seen out of those three, actually.
Interesting. Anyway, we don't have to keep talking about it. But,
Well, let's. Are you ready for the beloved Measure Up segment? The listener's favorite, just a particular part of the show.
You're never gonna stop slipping that in there, are you?
I don't know what you're talking about.
You're jaded.
No, I just am fully. The neural pathways are fully entrenched, and I wasn't reading. I in the copy, I have favorite crossed out, but I wasn't reading the copy. I was just
with the intention to restore it one day.
Yeah.
Is there a coup planned?
We should maybe a vote during the midterms this November. The part of the show when we present the animal size and dimensions in relatable terms to a quiz that's fun for the whole family. It's also part of the show that's introduced by you when you send audio of yourself saying, singing, and chittering the words Measure Up into ldtaxonomy@gmail.com. We don't have a new Measure Up intro this week, but that means we get to hear from an animal. And Carlos has to guess who it is. Without further ado, the listener's part of the show. Do you know who that is? Can you hear that?
I heard it. It was a little weird, the audio. I'm going to assume it's Woody the Woodpecker because that's the only one I know. So Woody the Woodpecker.
That's correct. It's Woody with the Woody Woodpecker.
Woody Woodpecker.
Woodpecker's his last name.
Oh, yeah.
He's
Mr. Woodpecker.
I didn't realize. I remember that from watching that as a kid. But I didn't realize how synthetically downpitched that voice is. Like, it's very metallic.
I've never seen anything from... I never... My only experience with Woody Woodpecker was in, like, Islands of Adventure. The kid splash zone, like, in the back near Whoville or whatever. Like,
you've heard his laugh, though, right? You know, he's got like annoying laugh.
Yes, I do remember the laugh.
That's like, I always thought that as an adult, I thought back and thought he must be just some voice actors using a high-pitched voice, like Bugs Bunny or something. But no, it's like a pitch down, it's like computer pitch down. It's not very, I don't know how people listen. Parents must have been really annoyed by Woody Woodpecker. I guess Alvin the Chipmunks is the same thing.
Yeah.
But it sounds worse to me. Maybe it was just that episode, but it sounds like robotic.
The Chipmunks front that with Donald Duck, like Chip and Dale, like the really old ones, still like in the 50s, it's unintelligible. They'll put like little, now they have subtitles for them, and we watch them a lot because it's just those are the Saturday morning cartoons. But they'll say something like, "Gee whiz, what a raw deal! I'm gonna give it to him," like that kind of thing. They say like very
old timey phrases,
very old timey things. I'm gonna knock his block off.
All right, let's talk about their length. Adults are 40 to 49 centimeters or 16 to 19 inches long. The wingspan is 66 to 75 centimeters or 26 to 30 inches. Let's go with their wingspan. Carl Linnaeus, the man, Dutch biologist, a contemporary of Benjamin Franklin that invented binomial nomenclature.
Our patron saint.
There is a statue... Our patron saint. There is a statue of Carl Linnaeus on the University of Chicago's Midway Plaisance. Or,
did you just speak French at me with your whole chest?
Imagine having half-heartedly. It's on a large granite monument. Most people have a quad. Most universities. Just relax with your plaisances.
It's a quad. Don't try to get fancy with it.
It's like a park. True or false, 6 woodpecker wingspans go into the height of a statue.
6 woodpecker wingspans. That's a 15-foot statue. That's not impossible. I'm picturing the statue of, like, Winston Churchill in London. Or Walt Disney. Winston... at Disney World.
Yeah, on, like, a big pedestal. Well, we're not talking about the pedestal. Yeah. We're only talking about the actual guy.
It's still... if it was on a pedestal, it wouldn't have to be statue. Very tall. I think that's too tall. I'm going to say false. Final answer.
Final answer. The correct answer is true. The statue is 15 feet tall, yes. The Winston Churchill looks like it's probably around that height, too.
Really?
Maybe. It's really hard to tell the height of a statue from a... Yeah. Yeah, it does. It looks like that. If you look at like pictures where people are standing at the base, looks like it's probably 15 feet tall. Is that standard statue height?
Is that the statue statute? The one in Parliament Square is 12 feet tall. That's the one I was talking about.
Let's talk about their weight. They're 8.8 to 12.3 ounces. Or 250 to 350 grams. The Mr. President and Lotus are the names of Washington, D.C.'s most famous bald eagle pair. They're nesting in the U.S. National Arboretum. Lotus, short for Lady of the United States, laid a new egg in March 2026 with... hatching anticipated in April. Did it happen? I don't know. Try to find an article about that.
That is the news we need to be reporting.
It is now May, and we have no updates on the offspring of Mr. President and Lotus. Bald eagles, of course, prey on pileated woodpeckers. True or false, an adult male eagle would need to eat 19 whole woodpeckers to eat his weight in woodpeckers.
That must be confusing, but that is a really good name for a bald eagle. I can imagine a big bald eagle being 15 pounds. I'm going to say true. Final answer.
The correct answer is false.
No!
Males are 11 pounds. Female bald eagles are the larger of the species. And they are 15 pounds. You're correct. But males are 11.
Males are 11.
Close, but no cigar. That's great. That's cool.
I feel like deceived. That.
Are you ready to hear some fast facts before we get into the major fact?
I'm still recovering from this loss, but sure.
Well, the pileated woodpecker breeds in forests across Canada, the eastern U.S., and parts of the Pacific Coast. I guess Florida counts as the eastern U.S.
Sure does. East.
Yeah.
Sure does.
There's apparently a lot of woodpecker species in the U.S. and like 8 of them are in Florida, including the downy woodpecker and the yellow-bellied sapsucker.
That sounds like, something Yosemite Sam would call you.
It does sound like a Yosemite Sam thing.
Well, I'm glad to hear that Florida has nice things. Like woodpeckers.
Yeah. It prefers mature forests with large hardwood trees They prefer moderately moist habitats. Most things do, because you got to drink stuff. They prefer large tracts of forest, but they may use smaller woodlots, as long as they have tall enough trees. Woodpeckers are primarily insectivorous. They especially like carpenter ants and wood-boring beetle larvae. They could eat fruit, nuts, berries, and even berries from poison ivy, which you and I cannot eat.
Highly definitively toxic.
We're not allowed to eat. You're not permitted. It's illegal. It's illegal to your body. Your body will arrest you by not, like, probably throwing up. You'll have to stop.
You
throw up.
Isn't everything permitted if you're an assassin?
Everything is, nothing is, what is it? Nothing is true, everything is permitted?
Yeah, nothing is true, everything.
Just
yeah.
Some really Satanist phrase. Truly the bad guys of that whole series.
The Alistair Moody for it.
Alistair Begg. No, not Alistair Crowley. Alistair Begg's...
Alistair Moody is from gentleman. Harry Potter. Alistair Begg is an upstanding reformed theologian. And Alistair Crowley is a Satanist.
Alistair is a mixed bag.
We both got that. Say. Just devastatingly wrong.
They would pileated woodpeckers forage primarily by pecking at trees and eating insects. You've seen them do it. They use long tongues to lap up ants from deep crevasses. But they also using
speaking
this,
French again?
We're always speaking a little French when we're speaking English. They sure. serve as cleanup crews for dead trees in nature. Pileated woodpeckers excavate their own nest cavities in decaying trees. And these holes are so big that they can occasionally cut a small tree in half, which accelerates the breakdown of dead trees and dying trees to make room for new growth. If you look at pictures, there are some like excavated trees that woodpeckers get at.
And if you watch Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter, you can also watch him cut small trees in half. With
yeah,
one
but,
swing of his mighty axe.
He is an axe.
Yeah. That also is a gun. So remember that.
Yeah. Jot that down. They form strong pair bonds and stay together in their territory throughout the year. They are non-migratory. They won't fly south for the winter. They'll stick around and they'll actively defend their lands in all seasons. But they're tolerant of floaters, non-territorial birds that show up during the winter time. So they open up their they have winter Airbnb, you know.
Oh yeah, a winter home. They tolerate the sojourner mm-hmm. within their gates as long as it's cold.
Mm-hmm. Yes. But what kind of things eat this kind of thing? Nests are vulnerable to several predators, including American and Pacific martens, weasels, squirrels, rat snakes, and gray foxes. Free-flying adult pileated woodpeckers face fewer threats, but they can be preyed upon by various raptors, including coopers, northern, red-shouldered, red-tailed hawks, and great horned owls, barred owls, golden eagles, and Mr. President himself, the bald eagle.
Not the lotus, just Mr. President.
Probably lotus too.
Are they free? Are they like just in DC having a good time, or are they captive?
I wasn't super sure they're nesting. I've never been to the U.S. National Arboretum. Is that just a forest area, like a preserve?
Me neither. I've not been.
Because that's where they are. That's where they're nesting. They're in a secluded part of the arboretum. I think it's just a park. It's a park, and they're just nesting there freely.
Nice.
I don't think how many, I guess, whatever. I won't question it. You don't see a lot of bald. I know there are bald eagles, like even here.
I've seen a few of them.
But yeah, I don't see many of them. When you're in Alaska, it's lousy with bald eagles.
They have an embarrassment of bald eagles.
Yeah.
It's too patriotic up there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Land of the free. But that's all I got for that. Do you have any really big facts?
I do. This one I'm calling a torque in the load. That's a engineering joke, I guess. I'm not an engineer. What is the woodpecker famous for? It is famous for taking its head and slamming it into a hard wood,
mm-hmm,
20 times a second at 15 miles an hour per peck all day. So thousands of times a day. How does it do this without dying? Let alone getting concussions. It does it without damage. Here's how. So the pileated woodpecker has a skull construction and bone apparati that allow it to absorb, well, not absorb, redirect force and avoid a very specific kind of force, which is torque. So the woodpecker's skull is actually not designed to absorb impacts, according to researchers. It is designed to reduce the rotational force known as torque. So when I first heard that woodpeckers thought about the fact that woodpeckers can peck all day without hurting themselves, I was like, oh, well, maybe their skulls are like crumple zones in cars where, you know, it hits their skull and then it goes around. And that's true to a degree.
It crumples in the front.
Yeah.
And they have to call their insurer.
And then before they can peck again. No, because that obviously wouldn't work, because you can't have any part of you crumpling if you're going to do this 20 times a second and it's your main method of interacting with the world. So there will be no crumpling happening with the bird's, the woodpecker's beak and skull. Instead, it has powerful neck muscles. They act like a biological suspension system. But the more important thing is that is its jaw. So in birds, the lower jaws are not directly articulated with the brain case or the skull, the main piece of bone in which the brain resides. Like in mammals, we have our lower jaw is directly attached via tendons to our skull. Instead, for birds, the lower jaw is suspended via a separate bone known as the quadrate. And for woodpeckers, the quadrate is smaller. It's reduced, and this elevates the lower jaw. And that gives it a lower profile for the upper beak. And all of this creates what they call axial alignment between the beak and the skull. So when the bird pecks into something and there's impact from the tip of the beak, it goes straight back rather than moving it at all to the right or to the left, which is important because torque and excess can destroy even bridges, like really strong structures. Torque and I suppose erosion and entropy are the big the big problems that engineers have to face, the big physics problems. But torque is huge. And in birds, where their bones, their cranial joints, are designed for mobility rather than rigidity. They don't have very strong bones. They're meant to be light and fast. They are really vulnerable to this mechanical instability, especially under high impact conditions. Think about it when like people are scared of a goose or a swan attacking them. Mm-hmm. Like they take super effective damage to impact. If you were to like just swing your arms, you would devastate that goose that's attacking you. But people, you know, obviously it's overwhelming to have goose attacks. But you're sitting pretty in terms of
most people
of
a, aren't out to devastate a goose either.
No, but if a goose were to attack you, yes, run away, fine, whatever, but if you were to strike the goose, which sounds like a euphemism, or just an idiomatic phrase, I struck the goose on this one, then you know you'd be doing a lot of damage to it because its bones are not intended to withstand impact or torque.
Real bold behavior from a brittle boned animal, you know.
Yeah. It's really gambling on this one. Like, hopefully this thing that weighs so much more than me and is so much stronger than I am doesn't turn around and punch me.
Yeah, this whole lake, it belongs to me. Even though I have brittle bones.
Yeah. It'd be kind of like you taking a big like blanket and going up to, I don't know, The Rock Johnson and trying to scare him away from something by flapping your blanket at him.
If you're fast enough, you might get him to flinch, and that's what they're trying to do.
Yeah, you just want to make him think that it's that you're not worth fighting. But so this has been like the analogy that researchers have used with the woodpecker's ability here is like a boxer that braces for a blow. So boxers are trained to lower their chins and put their heads forward, and so that when they are punched, their heads don't turn to the left or the right. And it's that rotational force that causes the brain to bounce around inside the brain case like dice in a Yahtzee cup. And that's what causes the concussions. If you have that axial alignment where everything is lined up and the force just travels directly back, you take a lot less damage from a strike. And that's what is happening here. Additionally, woodpeckers have a really long, curly bone and muscle structure that attaches to their tongue called the hyoid apparatus. The hyoid apparatus, it starts in the back, attaches to their tongue. But it goes all the way back behind their brain or behind their skull and wraps all the way around. So it's this long, like, lightning rod for force. It hits that and the force goes away from the brain. And this is what allows them to this combination of axial alignment, the hyoid apparatus taking the force away from the brain case, which is the skull. This allows it to just again slam its head into oak trees over and over and over again, which would, you know, not leave a parrot in a very good spot, or a seagull, or Mr. President not do well. But the woodpecker can. So that is That's why it can do what it can do. This is similar. This is in the same vein of like the rooster that we did not too long ago. Very famous animal, but it's like, how come it can do that? How come a rooster can crow without deafening itself? How come a woodpecker can slam its head into oak trees without dying? And this is how. So yeah. You got anything else? Yeah.
That's all I got.
All right. That was the pileated woodpecker for you out there in Podcastia. Drill some holes. Listen for the sound of nature's heavy machinery. And appreciate the miracle of boneheaded hardhats, like the pileated woodpecker here in Life, Death, and Taxonomy.
Hey, Taxonomy Titans. I just want to remind you that we have a Patreon that you can find by going to ldtaxonomy.com/donate. All of our episodes are uploaded there. Sign up for free to engage with us, leave episode suggestions, or chat with other animal enthusiasts. If you find it in your heart to donate, it will help us cover some costs and continue to make the show. Plus, we'll thank you every week. Most importantly, thank you all for listening.
My favorite in the world podcast.
You yellow belly boneheaded hard hat sap sucker.